Now let me begin with the three short stories on heaven. And in fact, these are the actual conversations that I had with my daughter when she was 4 years old. So that means over 20 years ago, I did have these conversations. Now I do remember well though, because I wrote them down. When I had these conversations. So if you're raising your kids at home, and jot down some of the wonderful stories that you share with your kids, because later on you will appreciate that. Anyway, my daughter asked me one day, December in 1993, about heaven. And she asked me if heaven was big. Yes, said I. And she asked, this big? And she stretched her out, you know, her arms. So you could imagine the four-year-old doing that. And the next night at her bed, we also had our second conversation on heaven as follows. Dad, are there papers and crayons in heaven? Yes. Then I'll draw a rainbow picture and show it to Jesus. Dad, how many angels are in heaven? Many. Can I wear my jammies in heaven? I think so, honey. Maybe you can even ask Jesus to put a rainbow sticker on your jammies. My daughter says, I'll ask him to put a moon sticker on your jammies and a star sticker on mom's and a bunny sticker on mine. Dad, are there trees too? Yes, in fact, there is a tree in heaven that bears 12 different fruits, such as pear, apple, watermelon, pineapple. I listed the fruits that she knew of. What about crackers, Dad? She still loves crackers, after all. Honey, trees don't make crackers. Crackers are made in factories. In heaven, there are no tears. You once in a while get sad and cry, don't you? But there will be no crying in heaven. And there will be no sickness either. You get sick sometimes, right? You get aches in your knees and you get stomach aches and itchy eyes and so on. But there will be no such things in heaven. I even think that Jesus will play with you along with the angels. Maybe there will be a swing set too. And her eyes were just brightened up. How do you hang the swings in the air? She asked. Maybe the angels will hold them in their hands. That was my answer. Are there animals in heaven too? Of course. I don't like lions though. Oh, Sarah, no mean or scary lions will be there. Rather, only nice and gentle ones like those in Daniel's story. There will be nice tigers and nice alligators too. I even believe that there in heaven there will be drawing chalks of all colors and even bubbles to blow. Dad, how do I get to heaven? You'll go when you die. To die means to leave this world to be with Jesus. For example, when mom and dad get older, God will call us to heaven to be with Jesus. What about me? You'll grow up to 20 to 30 years old and then get married, then become a mother and live with your baby. And when Jesus called you to be with him, then you can come to him and heaven too. Dad, I want to die soon. And by then I was kind of a little touched and teary. And so I said goodnight. And the following morning, she drew a heaven picture. I wish I had somehow kept, but I don't know where it is. 6 days later, she asked me one more time about heaven. Dad, how many balls are there in heaven? One, two, 1,000 balls? Does Jesus have a ball too? Where do they keep all those balls? I know, she said. They keep them in the closet, right? So because in those days we kept all these toys in our closet and so on. Anyway, through these conversations with my daughter, I believe I have covered the topic of heaven, most of it anyway. Now that's what we are going to think about this morning. In today's church, though, it is said that we do not preach or teach on this subject for whatever reasons. Once I preached on the topic of heaven in my previous congregation, and one of the members, whose name was Betty, in her 80s, and she was Sunday school superintendent and whatnot, and she told me that all those years, she never heard a sermon on heaven until she heard me preaching on heaven. I said, really? And she's been a member of that church for scores of years, folks. Either she was losing her memory, or she's telling me the truth that we don't speak or preach on heaven often enough. Maybe some preachers do not take it seriously or treat it like a myth. You heard me right. One time, a member of the church came to me and she was in tears. I think it's the same Sunday that I preached on this topic of heaven. And she told me that, you know what, when my husband passed away, we had a service in the church and I was so saddened with the sermon because the pastor didn't say one single word about heaven. So I said, really? Why we don't talk about this heaven in the church? More likely, many of us are unsure what is heaven like. And therefore, we treat it, including, you know, clergy, we treat it like Steve Jobs did. What he did, 50-50, like flipping the light switch, you know? Hoping to be in there somehow, if there is one. If not, nothing to lose. You see? Now, before I proceed, I must admit that in the conversations that I had with my daughter 20 years ago, I added my own version and wishes on heaven, such as animals, balloons, and blowing bubbles, and swing set, and chalks, and balls, and even wearing jammies with stickers on. So let's set aside all our preconceptions and wishes about heaven, and closely incline our ears to what the Bible actually says about heaven. Of course, it is impossible for anyone to cover the entire topic with a 20-minute long sermon. It's impossible. But you're about to hear a brief summary of the biblical accounts of heaven. Okay? Let me begin with the definition. What is heaven? The Oxford Dictionary defines, I quote, home of God and the saints, unquote. I think it's a pretty accurate definition. However, I'd like to add one word, eternal, to its definition. Heaven is the eternal home of God and the saints in Christ. It is our final destination that God has prepared for every one of us. And the Bible says that God is the architect and the builder of heaven. So you can, you know, trust in Him, how well He designed and He built. It is the kingdom where God, our Heavenly Father, is the King, and we are the children, and we will be the citizens therein, the Bible says, and we will reign with Christ for eternity. And of course, angels will be there with us too. Next question is, who enters heaven? Revelations 21:27 says, nothing unclean will enter it. So if you think, oh, this is so unclean, you better believe it's not going to be there. Okay? Nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood. So if you practice falsehood, whatever it is, time to drop it off, because it will jeopardize your chance to get into heaven. Okay? No falsehood you'll find. I must say, there's some divine selection is involved. Why I say that? Because the Bible says, Revelations 21:27 and 20-14, only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be there. When it says only those, obviously not everyone makes into heaven. So do not believe that someone or some church is teaching that everyone will be there It is against what the Bible says. Okay? Only those, Jesus says, who are born again, John 3:15, will be in heaven. I'll elaborate on this later on. Now, here's the list of the things that we will see in heaven. First of all, we'll see the tree of life that will bear 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, and its leaves will heal the nations. The tree of life will be there. And second, we'll have the new Jerusalem, as Jody read this morning from the Revelation, the holy city that is made of precious stones, its foundations and walls, all, you know, made of, it's not just decorated, it's just made of precious stones, and whose streets are made of pure gold, like transparent glass. And it will have 12 gates, and also the third thing you will see is that the river of the water of life that flows from the throne of God through the middle of the street of the city. Those things we'll see. Now, since I mentioned the New Jerusalem, let me briefly tell you about the dimension, how big of the New Jerusalem, the New Heaven. Because it's going to be our future dwellings, right? The Bible says that the New Jerusalem, it's a cube having 6 equal square size. If you 4 sides around and top the bottom, so 6 square size. Its length and width and height are equally 1,500 miles. Now let's forget about how high that 15 miles up. But let's think about the, you know, the two dimension here, the flat side alone. The area, 100 miles times 1,500 miles, brings up to 2.25 million square miles. 1 square mile is 640 acres. So 2.25 million square miles, 1.44 billion acres. Did I lose you already? How wide is that? Now, most of us, it's mind-boggling and beyond our comprehension. Almost 1.5 billion acres. Now, so let me compare the size with something tangible. Now, think of the entire U.S. territory, Alaska and Hawaii included, and they say it's 3.54 million square miles. That's how big our United States. So 2.25 million square miles is about 64% of it, about two-thirds of the U.S. territory. In other words, if it is about the combined size of 38 states east of Colorado River, east of Montana, Wyoming, and Colorado and Arizona, and all the way to the, you know, Atlantic coast. That's how big, how wide the new Jerusalem will be. Now, that's enough lesson for the how big it is. Now, what about the things that we will not see in heaven? First of all, as we read this morning, there will be no sea. I'm kind of sad, you know, we will not see heaven, in heaven the sea at all. Well, no light or lamp, no electricity, you don't have to worry about energy crisis. No sun or moon, because God will be the light and He's the light, and there will be no night either. And there will be no temple, because God will be the temple Himself, and there will be no closed gates in heaven, no curse, no tears, no death, no sorrow, no crying or pain will be there either. No more Satan, no more devils or evil spirits, and there will be no people of low character. The Bible calls them dogs. No cowards, no sorcerers. So if you ever practice sorcery, you're not going to be there. Believe me, that's what the Bible says. No fornicators, no murderers, no idolaters, and no liars. I'm just straightly for telling you what the Bible says. Now, what about the kind of body we will have in heaven? What kind of body we'll have? My mother is 90 years old, and you know, she's thinking of her own death and funeral and whatnot, and she wants to preserve her body. In other words, she wants to be buried in a coffin, you know, casket and so on. And of course I told my mother, Mom, you know, you don't have to. I mean, you could be cremated. And she's so dead set against it. And she believed that somehow she needs that body in heaven. But you know what the kind of body we'll have in heaven is, it is called the resurrection body or spiritual body. In other words, it's something very close to, if not equal or same, as the resurrected body of Jesus Christ. So how good, how different it is. That transcends time and space. In other words, our body, new body, will not be restricted by any physical obstacles. Okay, in other words, you could just go through the walls with no, you know, just damage at all. This would be wonderful. I'm really looking forward to that day that I have that one. So the next question is, are we going to eat or drink in heaven? I'd love to. Other than Jesus' statement on drinking wine in heaven again with his disciples. You know, that's what he said at the Last Supper with his disciples. I will not drink again until I drink in heaven again with you. Other than that, the Bible is silent on this. So I'll just leave it that. So the next question is, what are we going to do in heaven? I know some of us think that, oh, it's going to be very boring. For eternity, I'm going to sleep after sleep after sleep. Now, this is what the Bible says. We'll do three things. Three things. Again, not limited to. But my just responsibility is to inform you what the Bible says about what we are going to do. First of all, we'll serve. So if you love to work, don't worry. God will give you some work to do in heaven. Second thing, we'll do worship. And third, we'll do praise God for eternity. Let's think about heavenly worship for a while. And some of us think that heavenly worship will be as boring as the earthly worship here. Wrong. You know, heavenly worship is going to be awesome and awe-inspiring experience, unlike the earthly worship. So if you ever been to any church worship services, you are so inspired and, you know, just felt the awesome presence of God and multiply a million times. Because you are going to be in the very presence of God in heaven in worship. This is what the Bible says. In heaven, all nations and tribes will come together to worship God according to their unique cultural styles. Isn't it wonderful? Now, there is a word of caution I must give you. Now, some of us have heard or read about heaven. You know, there are plenty of books out there. Heaven is Real, written by a 5 or 6 year old boy. And I read that book before too. And there are plenty of materials and, you know, about heaven. Books, tapes, and personal and testimonies and so on. Now, word of caution is this. You must, it's a biblical command to test all those stories and testimonies against the Bible. If they are in agreement with the Bible, then keep them, and if not, do not take it as truth, because you don't want to establish your faith on something that is not absolutely true or attested over time. Let me give you an example. Let's say someone like Geun Choi claims that I've been to heaven in my open vision. You know, I was caught up into the heaven, and I saw the wide sea in heaven. And you say, are you with me? And another one says that, oh, I was caught into heaven and I saw there are all these 12 gates and some of them were closed. And you say, because the Bible says all the gates will remain open. Are you with me? So you have to test all these things against the Bible. Now, even Paul the apostle, who himself went to the third heaven, he was taken up into the third heaven and tasted what it's like to be in paradise. And he would not even elaborate much on that. He says, all the human words are not enough to describe what I have experienced. I think it's quite true. Rather, he simply says this, the glory in heaven is so great that no human sufferings are worth comparing to that. In other words, You go through some human sufferings, wait until you get into heaven, you will be rewarded and you will be so glad and eternally grateful. In other words, heaven is the place worth being there for eternity. The real question after all these things, again, as I said, I do not claim that I covered all. The real question is this, whether you and I will be there or not, right? And there is only one condition we must satisfy. Only one condition. Revelation 22:14. Those people in heaven, their sins are washed with Jesus' blood. Okay? And another place in the Revelation, for those folks whose names are written in the book of life. According to Jesus, he says, you gotta be born again. So what are all these three, you know, the verses mean? They simply mean that we sincerely, listen carefully, believe Jesus as our Savior who died on the cross and obey Him as our Lord. Now, I must be very careful and you must be very careful here to believing in Jesus. Sometimes people think that, yeah, I believe what Jesus has done on the cross for me. Believing in Jesus never means that a mere intellectual understanding of what Jesus has done on the cross. You know why? Because even the evil spirits believe that. They could say that. Rather, faith in Christ must include sincere repentance of our sins and living a life worthy of God's name and keeping God's commandments. That's what it means. In other words, it would be very foolish of me and of you to simply assume that God will get us into heaven with one thing that is, oh, I believe in what Jesus has done. And that's why sometimes we hear people say that, oh, I'm going to live my life my way until my deathbed, and I'll say, Lord, I believe in you. And you know that. That's not sincere, and God will not take that. So once again, the scripture says those who do not keep God's commandments will be greatly disillusioned on the last day if you think that they're going to be in heaven. Now, this is my prayer for all of us, myself included. I pray that every one of us would be in the presence of God forever in our home, eternal destination. And once again, I cannot. And you know, nowadays, I hear about more news in our society and it seems like getting worse and getting darker. And one thing there that comforts me is that the day that we'll be in the heaven is getting closer, and Christ's coming is closer. Let's bow our heads and pray. I wish, Lord, and I pray that you open up our spiritual eyes to see how wonderful our final destination, the Bible calls our eternal home, is. It is all prepared for us. It's mind-boggling and beyond our imagination the way God has loved us, the love that you have lavished on us. So we cannot wait until we get there, Lord. But in the meantime, you have a mission for each and every one of us. On this earth, we practice, what is it like to be in your presence in heaven? Help us never forget that the life we have on earth is not the only life we have. Life after death awaits us. Help us, Lord, to walk in the light and with you and keeping your words, not as a chore, not as an obligation, but as a delight, commitment to you, Lord. I love you so much that I would not hurt your heart by not keeping your words. And those folks who have washed their sins away by Jesus' blood, those folks whose names are written in the book of life, will be in heaven for eternity. I pray that, Lord, every single one of us present this morning will be there. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.